This is the Jets Blog Post Game Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Post Game Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, whether he wants to be or not, it's Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
Hi, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing fine. When you, as many people ask me after the last 3 or 4 weeks of Jets games, when you mail in the season or when you call the season in week 7 or 8, you know, the bottom, the second half of the year is much easier to stomach.
Yeah. Yes. Right. I mean, there's less roller coaster up and down, excitement, elation, defeat, you know, after games, but right, it becomes more clinical, right? It feels like now we're just dissecting this corpse, you know, that was at one point a live, breathing human with feelings and thoughts and emotions, but now it's just organs sitting on a table.
Yeah, and anyone who didn't see the ending of that game coming is out of their damn minds, because anyone who has watched this franchise for the better part of their lifetime knew that was coming, especially during the Patriots era. That's what happens, especially after that fumble. We'll get into it specific, but let's put it this way. It was not a surprising defeat.
No. And the quick thing I will say here is when they scored that touchdown at the end of the game, and I mean, the crowd went nuts, right? I mean, they went absolutely insane, but it was also just like, I feel bad for them, right? Because it's like, I understand you're getting excited about this and this is good. And I'm proud of the Jets, you know, in many ways, I'm proud of the way that they played yesterday, but I just knew this is not the end of the game. There's still time on the clock.
Yep. There is a lot to get into, as Brian alluded to, so we will get into it in a second. But before we do, if you like this show, if you like any of SNY.TV's other original podcasts, you can find us, you can find the Rangers podcast, you can find the Islanders podcast, you can find all these other podcasts in the SNY.TV audio in your iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. Again, just search SNY.TV audio in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts. Without further ado, let's get into your calls.
John Hughes, Carl Place, New York. My reaction is, once again, bitter disappointment. The season has been a disaster. I don't know about a lot of other Jet fans, but Todd Bowles to me has just not been a great head coach for us. Just disappointed once again to lose the Pats.
Well, we touched on this a bit in the past couple of weeks. The status of Bowles' job, or the butt, if you are a listener of the Around the NFL podcast. I imagine it's getting a little warmer. I still don't think that they should necessarily fire him, although it's getting harder to defend him. It's okay to be upset with Bowles, but I don't know what you want him to do about yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Darrell Revis just not trying. Mo Wilkerson just not trying. There being a lack of effort from all veterans, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Ryan Fitzpatrick playing the best he has, and it takes two insane catches from Quincy and Nunwa for them to even be in the game. This is just a bad team with a lot of holes on their third string right tackle, their second string left guard, their second string center, who's really like a third string center, their second string left tackle. None of the running backs have worked. You know what I mean? Like, there are every if that they needed to go right went wrong almost. And I don't know where you put yesterday on the coaching.
When I see things, and I know we're going to get more into it, but when you see things like Revis with that egregious missed tackle and the fumble and Muhammad Wilkerson jumping off sides and, you know, those kind of things, you know, it's like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? But then I pit that against what I thought was I was pretty proud of Darrell Roberts in that game yesterday. You know, there's some other things that happened there that I'm like, you know, Wesley Johnson playing pretty decently at center. Given the situation, I like some of the things, and I'm trying to weigh them against each other. And I can't put it all on the coach. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I could see them sacrificing a coordinator, or two, possibly the defense coordinator. Although that's Todd's boy, so he might try to protect him. Maybe Gailey retires in the offseason and they make a move. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think if Bowles does go, pretty much the entire coaching staff is gone, which is a bit of a disappointment because they have developed some players, namely Quincy Enunwa. Leonard Williams has turned into a star. The work they've done with a guy like Robbie Anderson and developing and finding and developing him has been admirable. So it's an unfortunate spot for a team that went from 12 wins to 3 wins or 10 wins to 3 wins and is now stuck looking at a top 10 draft pick instead of a wild card playoff chase. But I don't know. This isn't the week for me to talk about firing Bowles.
Agreed.
All right, let's move on to our next call.
Yeah, this is Peter Bertarelli in Charlotte, North Carolina. Why am I paying $400 for a DirecTV NFL package to watch this crap that they put on as far as the Jets? Let's reshuffle the deck and put Revis on the bus. Let him go to Canton now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you are getting some quality other entertainment in lots of other much better games than the Jets with DirecTV. And you get the Red Zone channel, which is pretty great. But right, in terms of paying the freight to watch the Jets, you know, tank and not tank, but just stink, it's not easy. And you know, talking about Revis there, right? I mean, did you see that missed tackle that I was talking about, Corey, yesterday towards the end of the game?
Are you talking about after they called a timeout on 3rd and 12 and then
yes.
an 11-yard gain on third
yes.
down and then
yes.
jumped off sides on 4th down? Yeah, I
yes.
remember that one.
Yeah, you remember that one? Okay, like I cannot even – it's like the missed tackles or the like jaking plays by Darrell Revis, I can't even distinguish it anymore. Like I'm so – up to my eyeballs in Darrell Revis taking plays off and not making the effort that I'm sick of it. I cannot deal with it. And at the price tag, I do not understand. Here's how he stays on this.
Forget the price tag, Brian. If that guy was making $1 million a year, he wouldn't be worth a roster spot. He's
Absolutely.
Not trying. He can't jam. He can't play off. He can't play deep. He can't play short. He can't play in routes. He can't play out routes. He can't tackle, and he has no interest in being a part of this defense. If he were anyone other than Darrell Revis, I would tell them to cut his ass now.
Right, and so that's my point, is when Daryl Roberts is playing better than you, you have a serious problem. And so basically the only way I can see him staying on this team is he takes a significant pay cut, which is never going to happen. Because we're talking about Darrell Revis, so he is gone. So, right, that's fine. He can go play with Richard Sherman in Seattle and look like a better player than he is at this point.
But who's going to want him?
Someone will be stupid enough to pay him. The Cowboys will pay him. Somebody will pay him.
I don't know that he wants to. I mean, look, he doesn't even try anymore. I mean, the thing that's really infuriating to me, and whatever, he goes somewhere else, it's no skin off my back. The Jets get some cap space back, depending on how much he gets paid out of the $6 million that's due an offset. Is the excuses and the lack of effort. There was he was asked about one of the plays he gave up yesterday, and he basically said, well, I didn't do it because I thought the pass rush was going to get there. He threw the D-line under the bus when the D-line is the only reason this defense isn't giving up 45 points a game. He was asked, you know, what happened yesterday, and he said he didn't expect to be thrown at that much. I mean, and then, like you said, the missed tackles and all that. I think if you look at this secondary, Revis is clearly at the center of the problems. The lack of development of young talent is the secondary problem. Marcus Gilchrist was a disaster in 2014. He's been a disaster this year. Last year was clearly an anomaly. We are looking at a secondary that is going to be drastically overhauled in this offseason. We're probably looking at three new starters. It's likely, you know, if you want to talk about five guys because they play nickel, Buster Screen inside because they rejiggered his contract is probably the only guaranteed starter next year. I'd imagine Calvin Pryor is going to have to earn his job next season. He might even play some more linebacker, I would guess, depending on what defense they bring in. But it's a disaster, and it needs to be burned down to the ground and rebuilt from the ground up.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's move on to our next call.
Hi, this is Chez in Tampa, and I'm 3-8 and feeling great. Not really. Have you ever seen a player get money and just completely check out as Muhammad Wilkerson? I mean, the only time you hear his name called is when he's offside or doing something bad now. He's literally been a no-show, and it's frustrating because it trickles down to the other players. You are poisoning Leonard Williams, and that's not what needs to happen right now.
Yeah, that play was insane. To basically, I think there was, I can't remember what happened, but there was some sort of worry about the defense or who was out there or whatever it was on that third down play. And then so you call timeout, get everything set up, third and one, right? Like, you know, in the red zone, and then and you jump off sides on the next play. I mean, you have got to be kidding me. Who gets paid that much money and gets a timeout to check their head right before that and then does that? I have no idea. But that was insane. That was absolutely insane. What is happening?
Are you still on the keep all three of them bandwagon?
Well, I don't know. My world is dissolving in front of me. We're definitely not keeping all three of them. That is definitely not happening. But, like, the three of which we are keeping, like, do we keep one? I think Leonard Williams stays. I think Sheldon Richardson will probably just go this. He will be dealt for something, for whatever, a bag of balls or something this offseason. But is this the new normal with Muhammad Wilkerson? Because if it is awful. It is absolutely awful.
Team keep Sheldon and Leo. That's me. I'm team keep Sheldon and Leo. Trade Mo Wilkerson for whatever you can get for him. He clearly has no interest in being part of this team or playing for this coaching staff, one of the two. Either way, it's a bad sign for young players. He got paid and basically took the season off. That's how it looks to me.
It is exactly how it looks, and I did not expect it to play out that way.
So move him. Keep Sheldon on his deal. You don't need to necessarily extend him unless you get a team-friendly deal. Extend Leonard Williams as soon as you get the chance. See what Sheldon becomes. Play them next to McClendon and Deion Simon next year. Diversify your assets at linebacker and on the edge, and rebuild the secondary. That's my best advice for Mike Maccagnan this season. Oh, and don't carry four tight ends, four quarterbacks, and seven wide receivers next year.
Here's another insane thing. Would Muhammad Wilkerson be on better behavior next year if you burn this front office and coaching staff to the ground?
Why do you want a player who needs a GM to get fired?
I'm just going at it the wrong way. I'm saying, like, what's the other alternative here? You're going to have to eat his salary one way or another. So I'm just saying, this is the level of ridiculousness we're talking about here, Corey, where a potential solution to get him to pay attention and start, you know, burning down the entire front office. What the hell is happening?
He's not worth it. He's their third best defensive lineman. He's their third best defensive lineman, and he's not worth making.
Well, he's their first best paid defensive lineman. So
you're right, but it might be time to cut bait and get him out of that room. I don't know.
God,
let's see. All right, let's move on to our next question.
Well, my name is Billy Finner. The question is, why did they go away from their main running back? When are they going to make adjustments? This coaching staff just doesn't do it. Thank you.
Who was their best running back yesterday, Corey
Powell?
Griffin?
Bilal Powell?
I think it was Bilal Powell. I honestly said to a friend going into that game, because I have like a fantasy team and I have Powell and Forte on it, and I said, I think Bilal Powell is going to get the majority of, like, he's going to get the points today, but I've got to go with my head and play Matt Forte. Now, it really didn't work out either way, but my point is, I still think Bilal Powell is the better back yesterday, or would have been the better in that situation, because hello, you need to throw the ball to your running backs in a situation where you're playing a pretty good run defense. And what did they do? They just kept stuffing Matt Forte right up the middle, though. And so, hey, that doesn't work against a pretty good run defense. And so now what are we doing? Well, what are we doing?
I don't know. That's Brian, these are great questions. I don't know. But I don't think that the issue of I'm not going to sit here and say that Forte is the problem. I just don't think he's necessarily the solution.
That's well said, yes. And he's had some good days. Don't get me wrong. He's had some good days. But running Matt Forte into Alan Branch and whatever their defensive line again and again and again doesn't work. And I get, like, Bilal Powell is not David Johnson or, I don't know, Gio Bernard or some kind of theoretic scat back who can, you know, squeak out and then catch the ball in the flat and run for 15 yards. They don't really have that guy on their team But Bilal Powell's a better version of that than Matt Forte is, at least at this point in his career. So why are you not doing that?
I don't have answers on a lot of this play calling. Gailey has gone off the deep end this year. I don't know. I think the problem, I don't know how many times I can say that. I think some of the problem is also the offensive line. The offensive line isn't good.
But is it also the fact that they have other guys now like Quincy Enunwa, and they have guys like Robbie Anderson and Jalen Marshall who are legitimate options in the passing game?
Is Jalen Marshall a legitimate option?
I don't think so. I'm just putting his name in the mix.
If you're looking at legitimate options on this offense right now, it's Enunwa, it's Brandon Marshall.
Yes, yes.
It's maybe Powell and maybe Robbie Anderson. That's it. That's the legitimate options you have, okay? And they've become increasingly predictable, and they've become increasingly defensible, and that's a bad Patriots defense. That, you know, not necessarily handled them, but they, Ryan Fitzpatrick played the best game that he has played outside of the second half against the Bills in Week Two, and it wasn't even close enough for them to score 25 points against, or it wasn't even enough for them to score 20 points against a bad Patriots defense with no pass rush. There are a lot of issues here. It starts at the quarterback position, but it filters out to the offensive line. I think if you want optimism, you mentioned a guy like Anderson, that's optimism. Quincy Enunwa is obviously optimism. They have to find ways to get him in the ball, but they have to do a better job of managing this roster. Why is Austin Seferian Jenkins on this roster? Why is C.J. Spiller on this roster? Why is C.J. Spiller active when Devin Smith is not? He's not returning kicks. He's not contributing on offense. He is a reason why he was available, and you're not developing and giving reps to your young players. Why isn't Troymaine Pope still on this roster? I don't know if he's good or not, but I guarantee you he's more useful, worth keeping than C.J. Spiller was.
Isn't Pope on the Seahawks? He got brought back to the Seahawks.
And I'm going to go ahead and assume that they know more about roster management and player development than the Jets do. I'm just very concerned. And we can get into our next caller, which is more of a big picture before doing this ourselves.
Yes, my name is Chris Miltiadis. I thought the game was pretty good. They tried real hard. Just don't understand how they could be so good one year and so bad the next year. And I've been a fan for almost 50 years. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris, man. I mean, and I'm with you. Like, and that's what's so maddening about this team is, like, I don't know. It must have just been lightning in a bottle last year. I don't know, because I cannot see that there was that much difference on that team to this team. But clearly it is. Snacks Harrison, Calvin Pace. On down the list.
It's not just about them, though. It's about, like, all the ifs. It's they regressed in the red zone. They regressed in the pass rush. They regressed in turnover differential. Todd Bowles remained the conservative, scared coach that he was. Ryan Fitzpatrick went from the 18th to 20th best quarterback, or somewhere in the middle, late middle of the pack, to one of the worst. Eric Decker got hurt early on. It was basically useless for most of the season, and before he was, because of his injury and because of the quarterback issues. The running back, they lost their short yardage. There's nobody on this roster that can pace a game on the ground when they lost Chris Ivory. And I'm not saying they should have re-signed Chris Ivory, but that's, you know, Damon Harrison was not the problem. Losing Damon Harrison was not the problem. Steve McClendon has been really good, really good. And him with Sheldon and Leo have been a good defensive three-man front. But the linebackers are an issue. They have no edge rush whatsoever. Their secondary can't cover, so therefore Todd Bowles' blitz and Casey Rogers' blitzes aren't going to work. The safety play has been miserable, so there's no one over the top. There's miscommunication and lack of effort all over the place. If you want to look big picture, I just mentioned it. The big concern is not just Mike Maccagnan's drafting and talent finding and all that. It's his roster management. They kept four quarterbacks, but their coaching staff refuses to play two of them. Or their GM refuses. Yeah. But their team overall refuses to play two of them. They keep four tight ends, but their offensive coordinator doesn't use tight ends, and only one of them can catch, and he's not even that good at it. They keep seven wide receivers. They keep bringing back Jeremy Ross. What does it matter? Why aren't you giving Jalen Marshall these reps at this point and letting him develop? You know, they cut Troymaine Pope.
You mean Devin Smith?
I have both of them. Why isn't Jalen Marshall back returning kicks and getting used and getting live reps? I understand he had hands issues earlier in the year, but what are you trying for at this point of the season? You're trying to develop and find young players and give them confidence to give them moments to build off of. Why isn't Devin Smith yet in two games since coming off the PUP list? Why hasn't he even been active? I have all these questions about the way they've managed the roster and the way they've managed their young developmental talent that give me serious concerns about this front office going forward.
I think when you're put in a scenario where you're told to win now and develop later, this is what we get. I thought it was a brilliant way to manage this team coming into the season based on the results of last season. But this season is showing that sort of approach isn't working, right? And so there are ways to do it. And I'm not saying it might be that this team isn't as far away as we think they are. But when you're another 6 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or 2 years down the road and you still don't have an answer at quarterback, it makes everything else seem so much worse, right? And so, you know, I've long been a proponent of going and getting the right guy, and you know, you got to plant your flag in the ground on that guy, and whether that was whoever it would have been. And now were they out of the running on some guys last year, like Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota? Well, sure, but they need to find out who that is, because then they can develop everything else around it. I mean, look at Derek Carr. He was an okay quarterback. You add a player like Amari Cooper and all of a sudden now he's light years ahead of that. And so sometimes it's hard to see, you know, I hate using the Raiders as an example, but I will, where they were spending money on aged veterans and everybody was saying, what the hell are they doing? Why are they giving that kind of money to Michael Crabtree? But when you put a Derek Carr and you put an Amari Cooper and you put a, you know, Khalil Mack and some other players together, you know, bam, all of a sudden now that team is, you know, is away and running. And so all I'll say is I don't see it. I certainly do not see what the long-term plan is with this team and the way that they've spent their money. But maybe they can come up with a plan in flight. But I still think we're 2 years away, at least 2 years away at a minimum from this team being from the light switch turning on for this team. Right.
Yeah. No, it's not a roster that is, all right. So I think if you want to look at this, that this is not about a 2 year problem. It's not even about a 4 year problem. It's a 10 year problem. And this goes back to the Mike Tannenbaum drafts after Rex Ryan took over, after Mangini left. It goes to the complete fundamental lack of developmental depth, how little they pulled off the practice squad, how many undrafted or seventh round or sixth round or fifth round guys turned into useful players. That is the lifeblood of continued success. You need to hit from fourth to undrafted. You need to build out the bottom of your roster and your special teams with those guys. And, you know, you occasionally turn one of them into a starter and one of those guys into a Pro Bowl player and maybe one of those into an All-Pro. And that's how you become a very good franchise. And then you find your quarterback in the first or second or third round and you build off of that. The Jets have done none of that for the better part of a decade. John Idzik took over a roster that was bereft of anything and everything, and he had to gut it to the core. And I think people continue to forget how bad they were when John Idzik took over and how much work had to be done just to get them even. Now, when Mike Maccagnan came in, it was in the middle of John Idzik's plan. Whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, that's fine. But Maccagnan takes over a team in the middle of a rebuild and then is told, you have to win right now. Oh, and by the way, you have to spend $60 million in free agency this year because the CBA tells you to. This was not an easy roster to take over. This was not an easy situation to take over. This was not an easy ownership person to work with. This is going to take 2, 3, 4 years for them to remain consistently competitive. But gutting it after 2 years or 3 years or 4 years is not the answer. And they have to continue to hope that Mike Maccagnan finds more guys like Robbie Anderson than he does D. Milner. and continues to develop them in a way that helps this roster fill out not just the starters, but when guys get hurt. The key to the NFL today is when guys get hurt that you have a backup who can step in and at least be a replacement level player.
Yeah, and I think you make a lot of good points here. And, you know, to wind it down, you know, this roster does not need to be burned to the ground, but it definitely does need pruning. And when you do some of the pruning of guys like Darrell Revis and others, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, light that can be let into those areas and space to fill back in. It's going to take time. But my big concern, based on what I've seen through 2 years, Corey, is how this current regime has drafted. Have there been some good players and interesting players, interesting additions? You know, yes, but they have to get stronger at that. And if they do not do that, then you do not even get a Cincinnati Bengals level team, right? That is, leaving this year out of the picture here, viable, you know, every year kind of playoff bound team every year. Like, you have to build from that cheap core, because then that allows you to do other things, re-sign the players you want and or bring in veterans, because you've got this cheap core that's already always, you know, building, that you're always kind of growing from within.
Yeah, and the one thing we'll say before we get out of here is that you look at the top 10 pick and teams get, where fans get enamored with that top 10 as in the first round. But where it can really help a rebuilding young team is the top 10 in the second round. You know, you mentioned the Raiders. Look at Derek Carr. He was an early second round pick. Those kinds of picking from 33 to 42 is almost as big of a deal as picking 1 to 10. And the Jets are going to get three high round. The Jets are essentially going to get a top 10 pick, a late first round talent, and probably a early to mid to late second round talent in the third round. And that's assuming no trades, no trading back, no other picks. So this is a draft in which the Jets have to continue to build the talent base and have to continue to add to that cheap core that you mentioned. Either way, it's going to be a tough watch the rest of this season. But we thank you guys for sticking with us. We thank you guys for calling in. We thank everyone for those, even the guys and girls and men and women who did not get on the air. We thank you again for calling in, and thank you guys for listening. If you like us, you can go to iTunes, search SNY.TV Jets or SNY.TV Audio. Leave a rating, leave a review, leave a comment, leave any of that stuff. We would greatly appreciate it. You can always hit Brian on Twitter at Brian_Bassett.
You can find Corey on Twitter at CoreyGriffinNBC.
And we'll be back later this week to, I don't know, preview something. The Jets play on Monday against the Colts. That is sure to be a miserable Monday night, but at least you guys will enjoy your weekends. Until next time, keep calm, Jet on.
What are we doing?
Thanks for listening to the Jets Blog Postgame Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.